بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم. القاسم ابن محمد ابن أبي بكر رحمه الله, who of course was the son of Muhammad, who was the son of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, was sitting around one day in a gathering. And as he was sitting in the gathering, a man came to Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. Of course, Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad is considered one of the main fuqaha of the tabi'een, one of the greatest fuqaha that lived amongst the tabi'een. He was sitting there one day. As he's sitting, a man walks into the gathering and he says to Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad, you know, I have a question such and such and such, so can you give me the answer? So Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad, he, you know, looked at the man, he said, لا أحسنه. He said, I don't know the answer of this. So this man said to Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr, he said to him, that I don't know of anybody else that I can go to about this question of mine. And I've been told to come to you, so you have to answer my question. And as I said, Al-Qasim Muhammad is considered one of the greatest ulama that ever lived in the history of Islam, and amongst the tabi'een, he's considered one of the elite as well. So Al-Qasim, what do you think he replied at that point? Al-Qasim, he said, do not look at the size of my beard. And do not look at all the people that gather around me. Wallahi la uhsinu. La tanzur ila tuli lihyati wa kathrat al-nasi hawli. Do not look at the size of my beard, how tall it is, how large it is. And don't look at the fact that I have so many people gathering around me and asking questions to me. By Allah, I don't know the answer to this. And then an old man from amongst the Qurashiyin, a Qurashi man, an old man, he was sitting there in the corner and he saw Al-Qasim Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr saying this, and he said to him, he said, do what you did today whenever you need to do it. Ilzamha. Stick to this methodology of yours, that when you don't know an answer to something, when you don't know a certain mas'ala and somebody asks, you don't answer. Stick to this. For verily, I have never ever seen you more noble in a gathering than the way I saw you today. Though he used to see, this old man, he used to see Al-Qasim all the time in the gatherings of ilm and so on and so forth. But he said, I've never seen you in a more noble position than the position that you were in today. And so, Al-Qasim, he replied back to the man, he said, by Allah, he said, if this tongue was to be cut off, it would be more beloved to me than for me to use this same tongue and speak in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal without any knowledge. And the reason why I start with this story is because the hadith that we're going to be discussing today is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said, "Min husni Islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni." From the, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah, from the best thing, or from the beauty of the Islam of an individual, is the fact that he leaves off that which does not concern him. Anything that does not concern an individual, he should leave it off. Hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Which number is the hadith? Six. Hadith number six. The scholars, they explain this hadith, and they said that whenever the Islam, the practicing-ness, if you want to call it, of an individual increases, the more it increases, the more you'll notice that anything that doesn't concern this individual, he'll leave it off. Ibn Hajar al-Haytami, rahmatullah alayhi, explaining this hadith, he mentioned a very beautiful point. He said that this hadith entails every single thing in Islam, period. Every single thing in Islam is entailed in this particular hadith. How so? How so? How can every single thing in Islam, rather even in outside of Islam, okay, or even outside of Islam, how can every single thing be encompassed within such a small statement of the Prophet ﷺ? And the Prophet's statement were, prophetic statements are always very encompassing. The way it is encompassing this statement is that things are either of concern to you or they're not of concern to you. One of two things. They're either of concern to you and they're not of, or otherwise they're not of concern to you. Is that right? So, if they're of concern to you, or if they're not of concern to you, the Prophet ﷺ is telling you in this hadith, you know, very clearly, leave them off. And if they are of concern to you, then the understanding of the hadith, and that's what they call the mafhum, the understanding behind the text of the hadith, is that those are the things that you're supposed to be concerned about. Everything that you're not, you know, supposed to be concerned about, leave them off. Everything that you are supposed to be concerned about, then take them off. That's why, as I said, Ibn Hajar al-Haytami, he said, by the way, Ibn Hajar al-Haytami lived around the 9th century, he said, I have never ever seen anybody resolve to this point that I'm pointing to right now. I'm taking it from Ibn Hajar. But Ibn Hajar, while he was writing this, he said, memorize what I'm saying very carefully, for verily I've never heard any alim say this before me. And it is the very great point that if you look at the hadith from the actual textual passage or textual understanding of it, you'll understand that anything that's not of concern, leave it off. But if you look at it from the understanding, you'll understand that anything that is of concern to you, then stick to that. Is that right? طيب. Now, the reason why I mentioned this story is because oftentimes we find that one of the things people indulge in, and it's not of concern to them, is, you know, speaking on behalf of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal without knowledge. Speaking on behalf of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal without knowledge. And Sufyan ibn Uyayna, radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa rahim, he used to say a very, and Suhnun ibn Sa'id as well, he used to say a very beautiful statement. He would say that أجسر الناس على الفتية أقلهم علما. That the more you see a person is ready to go out and just give a fatwa whenever he's asked a question. You know, somebody asks a question, you know, it might even be that you're not even the one that's being asked. I remember one time I was in the car, I was driving, and there was a guest that I had. He was asking me a question. He was asking me a question.
وهذه التعليمات طيب شكرا الله خير.
So I was in a car one time, and during my ride, in the passenger seat was somebody. He was asking me a question, whatever the question was, and I was trying to answer the question. Okay, because of course he's addressed me with the question. If I don't know the answer, I'll say I don't know the answer. And if I know the answer, I'll give him the answer. Now, from in the back seat, there was also someone else that was sitting there, and he's just cutting me off. Like, it's like the question is being addressed to that individual. So I just stayed quiet at that point because I said, you know what? If he wants to answer this question, that's up to him. But this is not the behavior of a person of knowledge. Neither is it supposed to be the behavior of a talib ilm. Neither was it the behavior of the sahaba. And that's why Sa'id, Suhnun ibn Sa'id and Sufyan ibn Uyayna are telling you in this statement of theirs over here, أَجْسَرُ النَّاسِ عَلَى الْفُتْيَةِ. The one that's always ready to give a fatwa. The most ready of them all to give a fatwa are the ones that are least in knowledge. And the reason why they're ready always to go and pass a fatwa on a person and stuff like that is because they don't have that knowledge. Had they known that the Prophet ﷺ is saying over here that leave that which not concerns you, leave it off. Had they known that the Sahaba used to sort of, you know, deflect whenever a fatwa would come to them. When a person would bring a question to a Sahabi, he would say, go ask that person. Then he'll go, that person will say, go ask that person. And the third person will say, go ask the other person. And the fourth person will say, go ask the other person, until it eventually comes back to the original person. And when they had no choice left at that point, they'll say, okay, you know what? I'll answer the question. That's why Sahal ibn Abdullah, he said in a statement, he said, very beautiful statement, he said that if you wish to look at the gatherings of the prophets, then look, فَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ مَجَالِسِ الْعُلَمَىٰ, then go and look at the gatherings of the people of knowledge. Why is that relative? He said, you'll see that during this gathering, a man will come. And he'll say, I did such and such and such, is my wife divorced? Another man will come. I did such and such and such, did this happen? Another third man will come. He'll ask a similar question. Right? And, you know, the person of knowledge that's sitting there, he will say, okay, you know, your wife is divorced, she's not, whatever, you know, this stolen or this fast of yours is nullified or it's not, it's valid. This prayer of yours is fine, it's not, you know, whatever it may be. He'll give the answer. He said, if you look at this, this is the same status that a prophet was supposed to have when he was a prophet. So during the lifetime of the prophet, this was the status of the prophet, to go and answer the question and be the person that's between you and your Lord. And that's why, you know, one of the ulama, he said that a mufti, a person that gives a fatwa, it's like a link between Allah Azza wa Jal and the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. So you should really be careful how you become that link between Allah Azza wa Jal and the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. When, you know, you're sitting in a gathering and you guys are all students of knowledge, right? Train yourself that it's not like as soon as somebody asks, bam, I heard this, I know this. No, that's not how it works. There's something called patience. There's something called, you know, waqar when it comes to knowledge. Having a certain level of dignity when it comes to, you know, passing on this knowledge. And that's why, you know, if you look at what Rabi'ah, one of the ulama amongst the tabi'in, Rabi'ah al-Ra'i, he used to say a very beautiful statement. He would say that, لَبَعْضُ مَنْ يُفْتِي هَاهُنَا, verily some of the people that give fatwa over here in this area, in this locality, he was in Medina, I believe, or Mecca. Anyways, he was in Hijaz. He said, لَبَعْضُ مَنْ يُفْتِي هَاهُنَا, some of the people that give fatwa in this locality are what? He said, they are more worthy of being jailed than even those that steal. Because think about it, this is a very grave crime. You're committing a crime against Allah. You're going entirely against the commandment of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَصِفُ أَلْسِنَتُكُمُ الْكَذِبُ هَذَا حَلَالُ وَهَذَا حَرَامُ لِتَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبُ. Do not say with those tongues of yours that you use to attribute to Allah Azza wa Jal a lie, that this is haram and this is halal. If you don't know, stay quiet. It's not your business. And then you look at what shaytan is telling you. إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالسُّوءِ وَالْفَحْشَاءِ وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. He's only commanding you with evil, with promiscuous acts, and that you say upon Allah Azza wa Jal that which you do not know. You are entirely submitting yourself to the shaytan by speaking in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal without knowledge, and you are at the same time going against the direct commandment of your Lord. And this is all, you know, things that a person needs to note. What happens is when you learn and you teach yourself to stay away from things that are of no concern to you. You start to recognize within your heart that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's watching you. Right? And through that recognition of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you, you then eventually train yourself to stay away from talking on behalf of the deen of Allah azza wa jal without any knowledge. Right? Isn't that right? Okay. Now, when you train yourself to do that, remembering the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching you, then that puts you in a state of haya with Allah azza wa jal. That puts you in a state of haya with Allah azza wa jal. You have a certain type of shyness from Allah azza wa jal. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recommend for people to have this sort of shyness. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he was, you know, wasa Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was giving a wasiyah. He was giving like a like an advice to an individual. And within his advice, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to this individual, he said that think of Allah azza wa jal in your mind as if what? Think of Allah azza wa jal in your mind as if He is a very pious person from amongst your family members. And He's always with you. لا يفارقك. He's always with you. When you think of that, think of the most pious person you know. Out of anyone that you've ever met in your life, in any country, whatever, think of the most pious individual. Now, by the way, this is a call to action, and this is the way you can apply. This is the way you can learn to train yourself and teach yourself to what? To mind your own business and stay away from things that do not concern you. The Prophet ﷺ is telling and teaching this man that think of the most pious person you know from amongst your family members. Okay, for you, I'm telling you, now look for the most pious person you know in your head. Everybody has a pious person in their head? Everybody is done? طيب. Now, think to yourself that this person never ever goes out of your sight. And now be a new you. Now look at the things that you did all day today. How many of those things will be crossed out? It's a question. Ask yourself. You don't need to tell me. We're not Christians. We don't go and confess our sins to people. You know, we confess our sins to Allah. But think of the fact that this pious person, he is never ever away from you, not for a moment. And then, now think of Allah Azza wa Jal as that person. Not in a physical form, but think about the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal is always there, always watching every single thing you do. And naturally you learn that all of those things that do not concern you, you'll be willing and you'll be ready to leave them off. And also, if you had, or if we all had, even just a little bit of sanity, we'd realize that throughout our day, we have so many things to do. So many things to do. We have, you know, money to earn for our parents, children, those that are responsible for their parents as well. We have, you know, for kids, you have homework to do. You have, for women, they have responsibilities towards their husbands. They have responsibilities towards their children. For every single one of us as individuals, we have responsibilities towards our parents. Now, all of those things are going to be written down and you're going to be questionable about it on the Day of Judgment. Right? That's a lot of things that you're going to be questionable about. So it will only be from sanity for an individual to not shove himself into things that more things that he doesn't need. You're already being questionable about every step that you take, every toe that you move, every single thing that you do in your life. You're already questionable about it. Every single statement that you make, You're already questionable about your... Then you go and push yourself into something that you don't even need to be questionable about on the Day of Judgment. Is it something... You know, you guys are coming up to exam soon. If I tell you that, you know what, if one of you gets up and says, I want to take the Hadith level 3 class exam as well, 4 or 5, and you're barely even passing the first one, would that be something sane to do? That's the type of thing that we're doing. When we're not sticking to things that are of concern to us. We already have so much baggage with us that's going with us to the hereafter. And that's why some of the ulama, they used to say, if a person was to consider his speech, لو عد الناس كلامهم من عملهم لقل كلامهم. That if they were to consider their speech from their actions, their speech would become decreased. Because every single thing you do, وَمَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. It's not a statement that you make, except that there is people there watching, listening, recording, and on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you in front of everybody. With that being said, we'll stop the class. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.